Let's pray. Father, thank you for our children, the blessing that we had here this morning of hearing from them, hearing them sing and giving thanks. And we too, Lord, give you our thanks. We give you our thanks for them. We give you our thanks for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, you've called us to a great adventure. For all who know you as Savior, you've called us to follow you, to run this race that is before us and to finish well. Father, I pray that as we read your word here today, that your Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts, that he would enlighten our minds to understand your word, that he would quicken our wills to respond with faith and obedience to what you are saying to us here today. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, folks, there's an old saying there that you should never, if at all possible, you should never follow children or animals. But it looks like we're stuck with that here today, then, in doing that. I also noticed there that some of the kids seem to be in a hurry to get down off of here. You know, they'd finish the song and that's it, and they're ready to run off of here. And all I was thinking when I saw this is, you know what, I can identify with that some days, you know. But not today, not today. Well, we are continuing on then today in our study in the book of Philippians. We've been looking through that and seeing that there is hope and joy for us in Jesus Christ. For the follower of Jesus, there is hope and joy in him. It's a wonderful book there where we see this theme again and again about rejoicing, rejoicing in the Lord. What God has done for us in our Savior, Jesus Christ. And our passage today we see here where the Christian life following Jesus is presented to us as a race, like running a marathon. As followers of Christ, we've been called to press on, not to get discouraged, not to give up, to remember that God has called us to greater and greater levels of Christ-likeness. That is a spiritual maturity of greater love and joy and holiness, peace. He's called us to press on, to continue running the race. That as you and I well know, obstacles and challenges can come our way, can't they? And it can make it very hard for us to run the race. We can feel pretty beat up sometimes by life and think perhaps the race is running us. And we might wonder if we're going to make it. And perhaps you have felt at some time like your race has been like this guy's race right here. The running of the bulls in Pamplona, for those of you wondering what that's all about there. Maybe you feel sometimes like your race has gotten the better of you, but I pray that you will not feel that way today, that you'll find some encouragement then here today. So continue on in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, looking at pressing on, pressing on. You'll find that passage in your pew Bible on page 1163. And what I'd like us to take away from this message here today is this thought, is that followers of Jesus Christ, if your faith is in him, you have trusted him as your Savior, then you've been called to run a race. You've been called to forget the past failures and sins, even the past achievements, to forget those things and to press forward, to keep moving on to God's great purpose and reward, that God has a purpose for your life. God has plans for your life, and God is going to reward you with perfection. And also, we're all going to stand at that judgment seat of Christ and receive our reward there. And so we're called to forget about the past and keep moving forward to God's great purpose and his reward. If you have your Bibles then, would you turn with me then to Philippians chapter 3? And we'll start there at verse 12. I'm reading today from the New Living Translation. I usually read from the New International Version, but I really liked the way the New Living Translation put this passage here. So I'm going to read from that here today. Paul again writing here, he says, I don't mean to say that I have achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it. But I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Let all who are spiritually mature agree on these things. If you disagree on some point, I believe God will make it plain to you. But we must hold on to the progress we have already made. Dear brothers and sisters, pattern your lives after mine and learn from those who follow our example. For I have told you often before, and I say it again with tears in my eyes, that there are many whose conduct shows they are really enemies of the cross of Christ. They're headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite. They brag about shameful things, and they think only about this life here on earth. But we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for Him to return as our Savior. He will take our weak mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like His own, using the same power with which He will bring everything under His control. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stay true to the Lord. I love you and long to see you, dear friends, for you are my joy and the crown I receive for my work. We've seen here in our study here that we've received some encouragement, some words of encouragement for living the Christian life. We've seen examples for living the Christian life, starting, of course, with Jesus Christ Himself, but then also the example of Paul and his co-workers, Timothy and Epaphroditus. And now then we're moving into exhortations or commands for living the Christian life. And last week we were given this command that we need to put no confidence in human effort. That is, that there is nothing that we can do in our own strength, our own reasoning, our own wisdom, our own good works, all of these things. There's nothing that we can do that brings us the favor, the approval, the blessing, the forgiveness of God. It's only what Jesus Christ has done for us, and we receive what He has done for us by faith. So we need to put no confidence in fleshly, human efforts, but rather put our confidence in Christ alone. And today then we're told then to press on, not to give up, but to keep moving forward to receive that prize that God has promised for all of those who love Him, for all of those who follow the Lord Jesus. And I would suggest then if we are going to press on, if we're going to receive this prize that God has given and is going to give to all of those who are His, that if we're going to do that, we need to have the right perspective. We need to have the right perspective on the Christian life, and even the right perspective then about our own lives, the right perspective about our past and our present and our future. Paul had adopted the right perspective on his Christian life. He was no doubt considered a spiritual giant in the eyes of these Philippian believers here. Imagine if you knew Paul, if you had lived then, if you thought, boy, if anybody had made it, it was the Apostle Paul. If anybody was spiritually mature, it's the Apostle Paul. He's a giant. God's using him to write Scripture. This guy has it all. He's arrived, right? That's what we might think. But Paul knows, no, he hasn't arrived. He hasn't attained. He's not there. He's still learning and he's still growing himself. He has not reached that point that God has for him, that the process of growth is ongoing and active for every single one of us. If it was true for Paul, it certainly is true for you and I. So he knew that he had not yet attained the goal of perfection in Christ. He was still in active pursuit of the goal of increasing spiritual maturity or Christ-likeness, being more like Jesus in thought, in word, and deed. Boy, that's a pretty tall order, isn't it? Being like Jesus Christ in thought, in word, and deed. And yet this is the challenge that God has given to all of us. But we don't do it in our own strength and resources. We do it by the Holy Spirit who lives in us. And we're going to make mistakes. We're going to fail. We're going to blow it. But we have His forgiveness and the hope that we need to forget those things that passed and keep moving on, keep pressing forward here. This was Paul's attitude, his perspective. He had not arrived by any means to this end goal of total transformation, total change here, total transformation into this glorious image of Jesus in mind, heart, soul, and body. Paul's salvation experience, his conversion on the Damascus Road, had probably been about 30 years earlier from this time that he was writing. And he had won many spiritual battles, certainly, over the years. And he had grown much over those years. But he confesses, hey, I haven't arrived. Is any one of us really arrived? No, we haven't. He still had not obtained all that God intended for him in Christ. He still had more spiritual heights to climb, as we all do. And this testimony from someone like Paul is a powerful reminder to us all that there must never be a stalemate in our spiritual growth. There must never be a plateau where we think, that's it, I've arrived, or this is as much as I want to grow. But yet, that does happen sometimes, doesn't it? We feel like, well, I think I'm about as spiritually mature as I care to be. And we stop there. But that should never happen with us. We should always be growing and learning more and more, pressing on, onward and upward to what God has called us to in Christ. So Paul had learned this right perspective. He had learned this right perspective on his Christian life. And what was that perspective? Well, he saw his life, the Christian life, as a race, like marathon runners. As you know, the Olympic Games, the modern Olympic Games, have descended from those original games that were played in Greece thousands of years ago. These were the games that were played in Paul's day. And he saw them, these marathon runners, and said, you know, that's what the Christian life is about. It's like a race. And so he uses that image then for us as followers of Jesus, the knowing Christ, growing in faith and love, all of these things, it's like running a race that we continue onward. We're striving forward all of the time. This right perspective then is a vigorous and determined pursuit of spiritual maturity, of Christ-likeness, being like Christ, greater and greater maturity. And Paul pursued then this maturity with the enthusiasm and persistence of a runner in these Greek games. And unlike some of the false teachers in their midst, Paul didn't claim to have reached the highest heights. So that these false teachers, they like to proclaim like they had arrived. We're here. Be like us. We've arrived. And Paul says, no, I have not arrived. I'm far from it. He knew he still had a long way to go. Still pressing on. What is this pressing on? It's straining, striving forward like a marathon runner. It is to keep going to reach that finish line no matter what. You know, I had a friend, I couldn't claim this, even in my younger days I couldn't claim it, I certainly couldn't claim it now, but I had a friend who was determined that he was going to run a marathon, and he had been training for this for a long time, and he finally did it. He ran the Chicago Marathon. It was, probably about 10 years ago now. It was really an incredible achievement, and watching him, and we were there for him, we met him at various places. Naturally, we were in the car going around from place to place. We didn't run alongside beside him to encourage him, but we would go ahead in the car and then encourage him as it come up at various points along the way there. And I tell you, there were times when he was feeling pretty good. He was running along. He had his wind. He felt good. And then there were other mile markers where you could see he would have just preferred to just quit right there. But he didn't. He kept going. He kept going. And finally, he got to the end. And what a joyful moment that was for him and his family and me as his friend when he reached that finish line, 26.2 miles. Well, in a way, that's what the Christian life is to be like, because there are times of great spiritual highs, of exuberance, that runner's high. We get that spiritual high sometimes and we feel good. And then there are other times where maybe we feel like we just want to quit. Paul felt that way too. No doubt he felt there were times when he wanted to quit, but he didn't. He kept striving, kept pressing on toward the end, the goal. And this should be the objective for every one of us who know him as Savior. He will not be finished with us until we're made like him in every way, mind, spirit, and body, absolutely perfect. You think about that if you're a follower in Christ, your destiny is absolute perfection. Absolute perfection. Now, we're not going to arrive in this life, are we? Far from it. But God is going to bring that to completion in us if we're followers of Jesus. Absolute perfection one day in his presence. Paul was a very mature Christian, but he knew Christ had infinitely more in store for him. And as such, he was determined that he would forget the past. And like a runner, he would press on toward the goal. He'd keep moving no matter what. He would win the prize for which God had called him heavenward. Again, I think he had these Greek games on his mind here as he wrote of that prize, that he wanted to receive the prize. Because the winner in those games was called to a place where the judge sat in order to receive his reward. And that same thing, I think, as Paul is writing, he's envisioning that same thing for us as believers, that one day we're going to be summoned to that place where the judge sits, where Christ sits, and there we will receive our reward. That reward of absolute perfection in mind, spirit, and body. But also, I think, the reward that comes from faithful service to Him here and now. It matters what we do for Him here and now, doesn't it? And He will reward those things that are done for Him in His name, for His service, for His glory. So in light of all of this, Paul had adopted the right perspective on his Christian life. It's a race, and we need to keep pressing forward. Forget the past. Keep pressing forward. He had the right perspective about the past, the present, and the future. The right perspective, the past. What is the right perspective on the past? In two words, forget it. Forget it. Now, I think he has in mind, certainly, our sins, our failings, all of those things, our discouragements, our disappointments. But I think he has in mind also, though, even what we would call maybe positive things, achievements. Sometimes we can get stuck on the past, too, and a good thing, something that we achieve. And when I say we, I'm using that word carefully. It's Christ who accomplishes it in us and through us, isn't it? But sometimes we can live on the glories of the past and quit moving forward. So whether it's our past failures and sins and mistakes and disappointments, or even the things that went well, and we can be tempted to just kind of sit on our laurels, if you will, says Paul, he's just going to forget it, and keep moving on. I think maybe he is primarily in mind, though, and I certainly for myself and probably many of us here, that when I think of forgetting the past, I'm thinking about my sins and my failures, as well as accomplishments, but mostly sins and failures. And I wonder, might Paul have been haunted a little bit by his past? Might he have been haunted a little bit? What was his past? Well, he was a violent persecutor of the church, wasn't he? Before he came to faith in Christ himself, he assisted in the death of Christians, the stoning of Stephen, the first Christian martyr. He was there for that. And he became known as one who was a violent persecutor of the church. He wasn't content just to go after Christians in Jerusalem. He even would spread out. He went to other cities as well. And it was one day when he was on the road to the town of Damascus that Jesus confronted him, showed him the truth about himself. And I wonder then, when he talks about forgetting the past, is he haunted by what he did? He knew he was responsible for the death of Christians. I'm sure that bothered him then. He wrote then of the need to forget the past. Listen to what he says here. Why do I think he was haunted by this? Well, in his later years, this is one of the later letters that he wrote. He's writing to a young pastor named Timothy. And this is what he says. He says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. Paul knew that he was a sinner. He knew what he was, and he knew what Christ Jesus had done for him. He was not one of those holier-than-thou type of believers. Anyone know one like that? Anyone want to admit maybe to being one at some point in your life? But what's the holier-than-thou person? That's the person who has forgotten who they are apart from the Lord Jesus. That they too are a sinner in need of God's love and grace and forgiveness. Paul knew that, and he called himself the worst of sinners. And I think he did that not only because he still had that struggle Romans said that Romans 7 struggle within him, the part that wants to do what's good and right and pleasing to the Lord, and yet this other part of him, the sinful part of him, doesn't want to do that. He knew that struggle within him. He was aware of that, painfully aware of that. And yet I think he was also, though, a little haunted too by his past as a blasphemer and a persecutor of the church. Haunted him a little bit, and I think he needed to learn. He needed to learn to put the past behind him. I don't think that that was something, the moment he was converted, he instantly forgot about all that he was and all that he had done and just went on to maturity in Christ. I think for years he was troubled and haunted by who he was, by what he had done. And it's years later then that he can say to these believers, as a mature believer, I've learned to forget the past and press on toward the goal. I wonder if you're a little haunted by your past. You know, I am. Fact is I did some foolish things as an angry young man. I was angry at God for a time in my life. I was angry because of just the way the world is. This isn't the way I'd run the world if I was the creator. And I let God know what I would do if I was in charge of the universe. Things would be different. There wouldn't be all this pain and suffering. I'd make myself a little more clear, reveal myself more clearly to people. All that kind of stuff that probably any one of us here has struggled with or felt at some time or another. I went through it and I battled with God. And I did some foolish things in anger. Yet I look back now and like Paul says, I was acting in ignorance and unbelief, and I thank God for His mercy for me about how I acted too sometimes in ignorance and anger. And God was faithful to me. He forgave me. But sometimes I'm a little haunted by those things. But I can rejoice that my sins are covered by the blood of Jesus and that by His grace I can forget those things and press on. So what is the right perspective then for the believer regarding our past, our failures, and achievements which hinder forward progress? Forget it. Forget it. I wonder, we have some visitors with us here today. Do we have anyone here originally from New Jersey or out on the East Coast? Anyone? Well, you know, as they'd say, what would they say in Jersey? They'd say what? Forget about it, right? Forget about it. And that's what we need to do with those haunting memories of the past. Forget about them. The past, forget it. What is the perspective then on the present? Press on, press on. We need a right perspective on the present as well. Press on. Don't give up. Keep moving forward. Just as the marathon runner keeps on going in spite of the pain and the fatigue at times, so too we need to keep running the race of the Christian life. And don't let anything stand in your way of receiving or attaining all that God has for you and all that God wants to do in your life through Christ. Don't let anything stand in the way of that. Forget the past. Press on. And then what is our attitude, the right perspective or attitude toward the future? Receive great reward. That's what's going to happen for you and for me, for followers of Jesus. This needs to be our perspective on life, that eternal perspective. We'll receive perfect righteousness and holiness in heart and mind and spirit, as well as a glorious resurrection body like that of Christ, as Paul makes clear in verse 21. And this truth should motivate us, here and now toward greater depths of spiritual maturity. It says something interesting then in verse 15 that it used to confuse me. You know, I didn't quite understand. He's talking about the need for us to go on to maturity, to keep pressing on. And he says in verse 15, all of us who are mature should take such a view of things, and if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. I thought, who's taken a different view on this? Who thinks that we shouldn't continue on and become more and more mature? Well, of course! If anyone takes a different view than God, you know, if you don't understand that or see that, God will correct you. Well, of course we should continue on and keep pressing on and not give up. Why would someone take a different view? Why would someone say, nah, I don't think so. I don't think we need to continue. We're just fine. I'm fine the way I am. I don't need to continue growing. I don't need to continue learning. I'm just fine the way I am. Just be a little confused by that. Who would possibly take an opposing point of view to that? And that's when I realized that, see, I have this basic character orientation, we all do, that I tend to process things in here first. And it goes around in here for a while, sometimes a very long while, and then eventually it makes its way to here. Isn't that the way then for many of us? And I thought, well, you know, probably what he's saying is maybe there's some people who needed to get it straight in here, that's what we need to be doing. But I think he's talking to, well, people like me, like I've been and can still be sometimes. People like some of us here, I'm sure, that we understand that here. It's one thing to understand it here, but it's another thing to really understand it and get it here in our heart and live it out. And that's what I think he's saying. He's saying, look, you know, some of you who aren't living this way, who don't have this perspective about the Christian life, who are not focused on this one thing, knowing Christ and going forward, God will show you that that's how it is. And that's how we should be living. It's not a matter of understanding with the mind. It's a matter of practicing in our heart, being obedient in how we live. That's what he's talking about in that verse then. All who are mature should take such a view of things. And then it goes on, verse 16, put it into practice what you know. Put into practice what you know in your head. Verse 16, only let us live up to what we have already attained, or in other words, put into practice what you've learned. Don't stop. Say, okay, I've learned enough, I know enough, and quit. But obey that putting into practice in your heart, in your life, and how you live, and not just in your mind, your knowledge. But put it into practice. Let us live up to what we've already attained. And then keep going. Don't go backwards. Put into practice what you already know, and then keep going. Keep going. Don't give up. The right perspective, the right example, and finally then I think we see then the right example, the right perspective, the right example. Put no confidence in human efforts. Totally rely on Christ. Press on toward the prize. Let nothing stop you. In order to do this, we need a right perspective about the past, present, and future. But we also need some good examples of that. Follow the right example. Paul says to imitate him. I think, well, it's kind of arrogant on Paul's part, isn't it? He says, imitate me. I thought we were supposed to imitate Christ. And Paul says, imitate me. Now, I don't think Paul is telling him, and he's not telling us, imitate him in his sinful failings, as we all have. He's saying, imitate him in imitating Christ, in making that his goal, his objective in life. Follow my example of imitating Christ. That this is what we're living for. This is what you should be living for. Imitate me in this vigorous pursuit of imitating Christ. We all need some good flesh and blood examples, don't we? God has used some in my life to encourage me, to be an example for me. He says, and don't be like the false teachers who are headed for destruction. They're living for the here and now. They only want to satisfy their own fleshly appetites and indulge themselves in earthly things. Don't follow that example. Follow Paul's example of following the example of Christ. The right perspective, the right example, and then our glorious hope. Hope. The believer's citizenship is in heaven, and therefore our ultimate loyalty and allegiance is to the throne of God. And it's from heaven that we eagerly await our Savior. And Jesus is coming again. Perhaps today. Says we eagerly await him, and that term that's translated eagerly await him has this idea of like being on our tiptoes and eagerly anticipating, looking ahead like this, that this is how we should feel about the second coming of Jesus, eagerly anticipating it like this, waiting for him to come. What's going to happen when he comes? Well, when he comes, he's going to transform, he's going to change these weak, mortal, earthly bodies into glorious, strong, immortal bodies suitable for heaven and suitable for eternity. And it's then that our salvation will be complete. And until then, we live in this hope. Our glorious hope is that God is going to complete the work He's begun and has totally changed us and transformed us, including these bodies. Anybody here looking forward to that total transformation of your body? Yep. That's what awaits the believer. What do we learn from this today? Well, I think, first of all, that holding on to the past hinders forward progress. I wonder, is there anything that's from your past that's haunting you today? Maybe it was a moral failure. You blew it. You were wrong. You know it. You sinned against God. You sinned against another person. You sinned against your family. A failure of some kind. Maybe it was a wasted opportunity. Something that you wish you had done and you didn't do and you regret that now. Maybe it was a wrong decision. I went this way instead of that way. We all have regrets, don't we? Is that haunting you? Well, what God would say to you today is you need to choose to forget it and to press on. Because you know one thing I've learned? There have been a few, but it takes a while because I have a very thick skull, you see. Occasionally God does get some messages through this thick skull. And one of those is, you know, these things that haunt us from the past here, is God has this incredible, amazing way of taking even our worst sins and failures and mistakes and turning them around and using them for good purposes in our lives. He says in His Word that He can work for good in all things, including even our own sins and failures. So because you blew it, because you know what? You've made mistakes, you have regrets. Well, I don't think there's a single person in here who hasn't regretted something. But God can take even that and use it for good in your life. So forget it. Don't let it keep haunting you. It's covered by the blood of Christ. Press on. Hold on. Continuing to hold on to it is just going to hinder that forward progress. Faithful followers of Christ will receive great reward. Believers in Jesus have the assurance that God will complete the good work He's begun in us. He's going to make you perfectly holy and righteous in mind, spirit, and body. Great reward for those who serve Him faithfully in this life. Is that what you're living for? Or is your mind set on earthly things? Is this what's motivating you? The reward of Christ, eternal things, not earthly things. And then this glorious transformation of the body awaits those in Christ. And I'm really happy for this. Are you? And this glorious hope should encourage us and motivate us to press on in the race. I'd like to conclude then with just this one question here then. Something I'd like you to ask the Lord in your heart, between you and the Lord here. Are you pressing on in the faith? Or have you maybe given up on the race? Maybe there's some who haven't gotten in the race here yet. You're not sure, what are we talking about, this Christian life, running a race? What does this mean? And well, I'd first encourage you to say that the most wonderful news of all is that God has given us a Savior in Jesus Christ. That the biggest problem that any one of us has is our separation from God by sin, the wrong things that we have done, what we've thought, we've said, and that we've done and we continue to do, that bring damage and destruction to us and to our people, to our families, to our neighborhoods, to our society, to our world. But there's a solution for that, and that's the forgiveness of God through Christ. That through faith I'm saying, Lord, I believe Jesus died for me. I put my trust in what He did for me. Forgive me now, Lord, and I want to live my life in a way that's pleasing to You now. Starts with that step of faith, that initial step of faith. But then once you've taken that step, it's about a race, a journey to increasing maturity. And we need to forget the past, press on to maturity with our eyes firmly focused on heaven. And the writer of the book of Hebrews puts it this way. He says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. This is what we're called to as believers, to keep running that race. Forget the past. Throw away those things that hinder you. Live for Christ for time and eternity. Let's pray. Father, every one of us has failed. Every one of us has made terrible mistakes. Every one of us has regrets. And maybe some of us here, Lord, are haunted. Even now, we're haunted by those things. Something we look back and maybe we can't believe that we did that. But we know we did, and we feel guilty about that. Maybe even feel overwhelmed by it at times. It was a bad decision, a wasted opportunity. Lord, you know our circumstances, but God, how good it is to know that we can confess these things to you and receive forgiveness and cleansing by the blood of Jesus, the forgiveness that's in Him, and that we can then press on in hope and new resolve through the power of the Spirit who lives in us by faith. So, Father, we do confess those things of the past. We thank you for the forgiveness in Christ. And we ask you then, Lord, to help us then to forget those things and press on, keep moving forward. Lord, thank you that you are going to complete the good work you've begun in us, that you are going to make us holy and righteous and perfect one day. And Lord, it is our prayer for all of us who know Christ that we want to hear you say to us on that day, well done, good and faithful service, Lord, servant. Lord, help us to be faithful in your service, we pray. Amen.